When I heard what the Japs did to Crump, I knew I could never surrender. I knew what would happen if I got caught. And there were a couple of things I wanted to live for. But deciding to keep on living didn't solve the problem of how I was going to live. So far, I'd been lucky with the natives I'd met. But the reward on me had been raised to 1,000 yen and the Shimoras were starving. I never knew when one of them might decide to feed his family by turning me into the Japs. And then Joe told me about the one man he said I could trust, a man named Antonio Otero. I went north to Antonio's ranch. Early one morning, he and I scaled a cliff that rose sheer from the sea, and there on a ledge high above Agano, he showed me a cave which would be my new home.
You see, Mr. Tweed, 20 miles along the coast, there's Agano, Admiral Point, 2 miles. Several islands, Rocky Peninsula.
Well, that's a great deal, and in more ways than one.
What do you mean?
Well, isn't that smoke from Jap ships over there?
It must be.
Well, I'll really have the inside dope on what they're up to. If I ever get a chance to use it.
Yes, you will. You will see everything.
Yeah.
But how high are we, Antonio?
Well, if you fall 300 feet. I wouldn't have fall if I were you.
No, I'll remember that.
Well, I guess I'll start getting settled.
And I will go home to my wife if she gets worried do something rash. I will see you 1 week from today, Mr. Pete.
Hello, Antonio.
Hello.
Well, you're back early. It's only been 2 days.
Yes. I thought I must see how you are.
Oh, I'm all right, just as you left me.
Oh, yes. I see that you are. I also brought news.
Good news?
No. Your friend, Tyson.
They got him?
Your friend, Tyson, and Mr. Johnson.
How did it happen?
There were sisters that. They came to the hut where your friends were living. The friends had no guns. They came out of the hut with their hands up. The Jap shot them through the head.
Poor old sight.
What a lousy story.
Now, Mr. Tree, you are all that is left of America now on the island of Guam.
Yeah, I'm the last. For a long time I was sick at heart. I was afraid of everyone. I slept with my gun by my hand. But I still woke up often, straining to hear what I thought was someone climbing my cliff. Stowed away in my gear was an alarm clock. I took it apart, fixed it so the alarm would ring at any time. Then I stripped bark from a pago tree and made a cord 300 feet long. I strung the cord from the button of the alarm clock to a tree at the base of the cliff. It was a tree that had to be grabbed by anyone scaling the cliff. That was what I wanted. I had an alarm system now. Now one could scale a cliff without warning me. There goes. I wonder who... Where's my gun? Who is it? Stop her, Earl!
It's me, Antonio.
Oh, Antonio.
Did I surprise you, Mr. Tweed?
No one can surprise me now.
I thought I heard something.
Yeah.
Was it the bell?
Yeah, let me show you. You see this clock?
I see.
Well, when you pulled on that little tree, the bell rang.
You make things like Robinson Crusoe.
Yeah. Well, I'm kind of proud of this one myself. Well, what brings you up on Sunday, Antonio? Is there something wrong?
There is another notice put up everywhere by the Jap about you.
What does it say?
Anybody suspected of helping you gets shot.
Well, that's not exactly news. You knew that when you took me in.
The notice said they killed the man who helped you and his family, his wife and children.
His wife and children.
And more. The Jap will also kill 100 tomorrows from the district in which you are found. Mr. Tweed, my wife, she worries. She say I'm mother. Tell you
I understand, Antonio. Well, that's that, I guess. I I kind of hate to... Well, will you help me pack my stuff in,
sir? You're not the angry.
You think I'm sore at you?
No.
It's just that I'm not going to let you take any more risks from me.
Yeah, but where will you go?
Oh, I don't know.
That will kill you, Mr. Trees.
Well, it's better for me to be killed than you and your whole family.
Oh, Mr. Trees, no. No matter what my wife says, you cannot do. I cannot let you go.
But, Antonio,
look at me, my darling. My wife and my children, even if many of us die, you must not die. For as long as you are here, we know the Americans will come back. That is our only hope.
Well, that did it. In a way, from then on, I was no longer a hunted animal. I trusted someone. I had a friend. The Japs were still scouring the island for me, but I watched and waited for the American Navy. It was the thing I lived for. But all I saw were Jap ships steaming into the harbor, Jap guns being set up along the cliffs. I saw and remembered. A year passed and another year. And then on June 11th, 1944, for the minute I heard them, I knew they were American planes. It was the proudest day of my life. The planes came over and bombed again and again. And then on the fifth day of the battle, standing off the island of Guam, I saw the American Navy. The planes had given me my first wild hope that the good old Navy would get me out. And each day from then on, American destroyers passed by lookout, circling the island. So I made two flags from a roll of gauze bandage. And each day stood from dawn to dark in the highest point of land, waving my flags until my arms ached, shouting myself voiceless, staring through tears as the ships disappeared. A week went by. Another week. Nearly a month. And no one on the ships had spotted me. It was July 10th when I remembered something I had learned to do in case of shipwreck. I ran to my coat and took out a small hand mirror. And as I stood in the late afternoon sun, flashing the light from the mirror across the bridge of the destroyer, I said over and over again, God, make them see me this time. They have to. They should see me. Here I am. Here I am.
Flashes of light from that cliff. Someone's trying to signal us. Can you make out what they're saying?
Yes, sir. Japs have battery of guns. Agile points. Also, gun emplacements to May at a rate 8 points.
This is good to know. Is there more?
Have more information. Can you take me aboard?
Who is he, I wonder?
It might be a trick, sir.
Yes, you're right. Well, we'll chance it. Lower a boat. They took me aboard. I couldn't even wait long enough to tell Antonio. That worried me. On board ship, I got new clothes, a shave, haircut, and a mountain of back pay. And then before the Marines had landed on Guam, I was shipped back to the United States. The Navy had plans for me. I made speeches, got the Legion of Merit Medal. This was very exciting. But all the time, I was worried about Antonio and my other friends in Guam. And then the Navy sent me back on a tour of duty.
Hey, Antonio! Antonio Otero!
You're calling me, mistress, huh?
What's the matter, Antonio? Don't you know me with a haircut?
Tweed, it's Mr. Tweed. Oh, it's good to see you.
Well, thanks. I talked the Navy into sending me back. It's swell to know you're okay.
Yes, we are good, but it was close.
You know, Antonio, I want to tell you something.
Tell me, Mr. Tweed.
I was stationed on Guam a good long time before the war. But it wasn't until I was hiding out those 2.5 years that I really knew the island.
Yes, you saw so much of it. You crawled all over the island on your hands and knees.
No, I mean that I really knew your people, the Chamorro. I learned a lot from you, Antonio.
Then? What, Mr. Steve?
that your people are as loyal and brave as any people that live under the American flag. They made me a hero back home, Antonio. But I know the people of Guam are the real heroes, not me.
Our thanks to you, Chester Morris, and to all members of tonight's DuPont Cavalcade cast. Fighter planes fly 400 miles per hour, and the Shooting Star, the new jet plane now going into quantity production, reportedly tops 700 miles per hour. When the pilot of a plane traveling that fast pulls out of a dive, or makes even a moderately sharp turn, it's like reaching the bottom of a dip on a roller coaster. He's jammed down in his feet. The blood in his body is forced down into his legs, so that they swell from almost twice their size. He faints, blacks out. Only for a couple of seconds, but in those seconds he can crash, or an enemy flyer can shoot him down. So Army fighter pilots now wear an anti-blackout suit under their other flying clothes. It looks like a football suit with lacings and leg pads. When the plane pulls out of a dive or makes a sharp turn, parts of the suit are automatically pumped full of air, hugging the pilot tightly around the lower part of his body and clamping down on his legs to keep the blood where it belongs. Wearing the suit, he doesn't black out. Naval aviators wear regular summer all-nylon coveralls, which incorporate anti-blackout features. The Army and Navy have been working on blackout suits for years. About a year ago, during an airstrike in Palau, a whole squadron wore them as an experiment. But they were so hot and uncomfortable that the pilots didn't like them. They had to be redesigned for lightness. The suits in use today are unbelievably light. One weighs 3 pounds. Another weighs only 12 ounces. The answer is DuPont Nylon, which combines great strength and toughness with extreme lightness in weight. The DuPont chemists who provided the world with a new material in nylon weren't looking for nylon. They were searching for knowledge. And in this case, knowledge about giant molecules and the way small molecules could be hooked together to make them. Out of their skillful research, out of their months of patient investigation, out of their pooled knowledge, and the fact that the DuPont company was willing to venture millions of dollars and wait years if necessary for any return, came nylon. Because of nylon, these lightweight blackout suits are possible. And parachutes, and glider tow ropes, and dozens of other things the Army and Navy would find it difficult to replace. Here is a forceful illustration of the value of pure research. Research seeking knowledge for its own sake. Research out of which ultimately come many of the DuPont Company's better things for better living through chemistry. Next week, the DuPont Cavalcade will bring you one of Hollywood's loveliest stars, and one who deserves the high place she holds in your affection, Miss Irene Dunn. Irene Dunn will appear in a new radio play about the adventurous young American woman physician, Dr. Catherine Neal Dale, who braved the unknown to fight for 40 years superstition and disease in a foreign country. Listen again next Monday night to Irene Dunn in Doctora in Mexico on the DuPont Cavalcade of America. Chester Morris, star of tonight's DuPont Cavalcade, may currently be seen in the new Columbia picture, Rough, Tough, and Ready. Music for tonight was composed and conducted by Robert Armbruster. Our Cavalcade play was written by Morton Wishengrad. It was based on the book Robinson Crusoe, USN, by George Creed and Blake Clark. This is Gayne Whitman inviting you to listen again next week to Doctora in Mexico, starring Irene Dunn on The Cavalcade of America. Brought to you by the DuPont Company of Wilmington, Delaware. This is the National Broadcasting Company.